Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Good evening and thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Julian Grace. We have a lot to talk about. Starting right here, showers and storms are moving in, and some of which could be strong to severe. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione, he joins us now with what to expect. Anthony.
Julian, thankfully, most of today has been really calm. We haven't seen much storm activity, but some of these are getting going right now. We've seen a couple severe thunderstorm warnings west of our viewing area, and that's where it appears that best setup is going to be for us tonight. So that's good news here as far as out of our viewing area. But I want to make you aware here as we head up to the north, this cell right here that is outlined in a warning right now could potentially move closer toward Roxboro here, even up towards South Hill, Virginia, if that does hold together. We're looking at that potential for everyone here, maybe some gusty winds, some lightning as we go, especially after, let's say, 8 to 9 o'clock or so this evening. Just to the south of Clinton as well, looks like a cell popping up there with some lightning showing up, and along I-40 just south of Warsaw. So that's what we're going to watch for us. We do have that level 1 risk outline for a lot of our viewing area, level 1 out of 5. It's that lowest one, but you head back to the west, it does bump up here just around Sanford to that level 2 out of 5. What that saying is across most of our viewing area, scattered storms could push through. Some of those, very isolated in nature, could be on the stronger side. So we'll continue to watch that. There's Futurecast. Relatively calm here again through the next couple of hours, but we may get a batch coming in around midnight and onward here into tomorrow morning that could, again, have that potential for some lightning. Out the door tomorrow morning, though, looking relatively calm here, but we'll talk about more storm chances here this week in just a few minutes.
Governor Roy Cooper was in Nash and Edgecombe counties this afternoon, touring the damage left behind by Wednesday's EF3 tornado. He gave an update on the Pfizer plant and the state's next steps. WRAL's Carly Haynes is at one of the trailer parks where the governor stopped by earlier today. Carly.
Julian, take a look at this damage. The entire side of a home now on the ground. There's debris all along the sides of different roads. And this is just some of the damage that Governor Roy Cooper saw as he toured different neighborhoods in Nash County today. Governor Roy Cooper told us that there were no deaths. And he said the last person hospitalized from injuries is now out. He spoke to families and local officials who are working to pick up the pieces. A damage assessment will begin tomorrow and be conducted over the next couple of days. From there, state officials will get a sense of the costs involved, so they'll know what they can request for state and federal aid.
We'll do everything that we can from state and federal perspective to try to help them in any way and to provide any assistance that they need.
And when it comes to that Pfizer plant, the governor said he's been speaking to officials there, and the company says that they'll remain open and work to resume production as quickly as possible, paying employees and contractors in the meantime. Julian.
The residents there will need plenty of support in the days ahead. Carly Haynes reporting live for us in Nash County tonight. Thank you. And this is how you can help the people who are living in the tornado's path. The Rocky Mount Area Chamber of Commerce and United Way has set up the Twin County Tornado Disaster Relief Fund. Anyone can donate. 100% of the money goes to people affected by the tornado. You can make a donation online or by mail. We have all the information you need on WRAL.com. Just search tornado. Breaking news, we're trying to confirm information tonight about a terrible crash in Wake County near the Granville County border involving a car and a motorcycle. This happened at the Creedmoor area along Beaver Dam Road and Rogers Quarter Road. The WRAL Breaking News Tracker was on the scene this afternoon. Now you can see the damaged car and motorcycle as state troopers investigate. And look for updates on our news at 10 on Fox 50 and then at 11 p.m. right here on WRAL. Today, WRAL spoke with the owner of the popular Mediterranean Deli in Chapel Hill. And we now have video from inside the restaurant that caught on fire yesterday. You're looking at it right here. As you can see, the restaurant sustained heavy damage. The fire gutted the interior. It's quite obvious the cleanup and repair costs will add up. And damage, repairing all of that damage, is going to take quite some time. This is a family business, as you know. And here's the owner, Jamil Kadura. He returned to the restaurant today to survey the extent of the damage and salvage what he could. And he was quickly surrounded by this. customers, and members of the community. Kadura says the support he is getting is overwhelming.
I always knew I live in the best community in the world. I just honestly didn't know it was that best, that to that extent. This community is unreal. I can't describe it. Honestly, the hugs and kisses I got and the text, I can't. My phone didn't stop all day yesterday and today. It's just like it's going crazy. But we're very lucky to be here.
Chapel Hill is such a loving community. Now, the fire's cause is still under investigation, but Kadura says it started in the roof. He says earlier he had called his roofer to fix a leak. He believes a flame used to seal the rubber on the roof may have sparked the fire. Kadura says he's most grateful that everyone was able to get out safely. He says he can rebuild, but he would have been devastated if anyone inside had been hurt. The town of Chapel Hill and the Chamber of Commerce are working on a recovery plan to help both the deli and surrounding businesses damaged by the fire. WRAL's Laura Levine shows us more of the support displayed today on West Franklin Street.
It's no secret the impact Med Deli has on this community here in Chapel Hill. In fact, it's pretty evident right here as dozens of people line up to support the deli as well as surrounding businesses affected by the fire.
Packing, stacking, and loading up arms with boxes of wine.
It looks like you have your hands full right now. What really encourage you to come out today?
Just the spirit of the town. I mean, it's just the way Chapel Hill Carborough is. They support everybody. So, yeah, we're out here to support, and hopefully David will get back on his feet quickly.
Just one day after Mediterranean Deli went up in flames, next door business, D.B. Sutton and Company, which also sustained damage, is up and at it again.
David has worked really hard in Jamil to establish a presence here and to continue to have their business here. I mean, you know, with inflation, it's hard for local businesses to maintain a spot.
She asked for these as well, six of them.
The owner didn't want to lose their stock of wine, so these people made sure that didn't happen. Just like these neighboring businesses, locals feel connected.
I know David. He's been cutting my hair, my family's hair, for quite a while, since I moved here in 2001.
Sense of community, that's what brings everybody out.
A case of good reds and a case of good rosés.
While standing in the heat waiting to help D.B. Sutton sell out, many people shared their memories while also concerned for what's next for the Chapel Hill icon.
I know our community is going to come out and support all these businesses that have been hurt.
Jerry Lynn Schulke with Chapel Hill Downtown Partnership outlines a top priority.
My concern, of course, is the displaced workers. That's my most right now, people who are out of work because of this. So how can we as a community help support those folks and make sure that they're getting what they need?
Business leaders and town officials here in Chapel Hill are now working to find solutions to help everyone affected. Laura Levine, WRAL News, Chapel Hill.
All right, we also found out this. There's also a verified GoFundMe page set up for Med Deli employees. There are more than 800 donations already, and we just checked. So far, the site has raised more than $50,000. Wow, impressive. Moving on, Durham police are investigating a shooting that left a man dead early this morning. Our breaking news tracker arrived at the scene near Holloway Street just before 4 a.m. That's where police found the man with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital where he later died. The victim's name has not yet been released. We have new information about a deadly shooting on Dudley Road in Wake County. Police have named the victim and identified the suspect they are searching for tonight. Take a look at this picture on your screen. This is a picture of the suspect, 20-year-old Hazma Thompson of Fayetteville. Deputies obtained warrants on him for first-degree murder. Detectives have identified the victim as 34-year-old Bryant King of Fayetteville. This happened around 8 p.m. yesterday. Cumberland County deputies also identified the man killed in a shooting that wounded three others on Pembroke Lane in the Eastover community. That happened yesterday afternoon. 40-year-old Nicholas Grady of Fayetteville died. No word yet on the condition of the survivors. Several top prison officials commute more than 100 miles round trip in large state-owned vehicles, and they don't reimburse the state for mileage despite a state vehicle policy that generally requires it. The Department of Adult Corrections says these high-ranking officials need to take their vehicles home so they can respond to emergencies effectively. But those emergencies are rare, and these officials all drive gas-guzzling SUVs. Our NC Capitol team went through vehicle usage records. Find out what they show right now on nccapitol.com. After being attacked by a bull, a local farmer is making enormous progress on his road to recovery. Coming up on WREL, how many of his colleagues and friends came together to help ease the financial burden of his injuries. Plus, ocean watercolors are changing. But why? What we know about the new research you're watching. WREL News at 6. Welcome back. Tomorrow, Lester Holt takes an NBC Nightly News to Alaska. Lester is there with exclusive reporting to show you our nation's front line in the defense against foreign aircraft and missile threats. Lester is with the Lieutenant General leading Alaska's vital protection role.
You look at the globe differently than most of us. You look at from the top down. What does that tell you about the strategic importance of Alaska?
Alaska sits in the center of any hotspot in the Northern Hemisphere. From here in Alaska, we can get over the pole into Europe. We can get down to the South China Sea. We can affect the Arctic. We're in the best position to defend the homeland. There is no more strategic place right now for our country than Alaska.
You won't want to miss tomorrow's report as Lester joins an Air Force refueling mission for fighter jets, pilots also who have already interacted with Russian aircraft this year. That's on NBC Nightly News right after WREL News at 6. Climate change is now causing the ocean's color to change. That's according to scientists from MIT. Over the past two decades, the ocean's color has been changing a little bit by time, making it difficult to notice just by looking at the water. The exact reason isn't known, but researchers say the shifting color indicates changes in plankton communities, which will impact all organisms that rely on that as a food source. Today, members of the community came together to show their support for a well-known dairy farmer injured in a bull attack earlier this year. Look at this. Friends, loved ones, and colleagues hosted a fundraiser for Randy Lewis at Kraft & Food in Knightdale. Many of his colleagues in the agricultural industry from across the state, including chefs, wanted to step up to show their support and help any way they could, including preparing dishes using milk from Lewis's farm. Lewis says he's recovering, it's doing well, and he's grateful for the support.
Every time, I just want to make sure that people understand how much I appreciate their kindness and you know, the people that gave whatever they had to give, done it, and I appreciate them coming to my rescue, because I sure needed the help.
In addition to the great food, there were at least 20 vendors at today's fundraiser donating their proceeds to Lewis's recovery. There was a special reunion this weekend for dozens of dogs rescued from a medical breeding facility just 1 year ago. Take a look at some of these sweet photos. Last night, 35 of the 129 beagles rescued came together for a celebration marking their first year of freedom. Many of those dogs landed permanent homes right here in the Triangle, but some ended up in other states. We're told the beagle making the farthest trip, was from Ohio. Their rescue made national headlines this summer. Beagles, they're just the cutest. You know a lot about that, Anthony. Doppler's a beagle, right?
Yes, he's at home, and I'm sure all of them, as does Doppler, were just sniffing everything. You know, let me figure out what's going on here and go sniff, but that's a great story. They do good work.
It's great to see them back. Yeah. All right, you're tracking radar right now and looking at some rain.
Yeah, we have some storms out there to deal with, so if you are going to, let's say, take the beagle out, I think mine's sitting at home probably thinking, yeah, Dad, let's go. It's going to be here the next hour or so, still relatively calm for a lot of us, but you look back to the west where we have even up to the north there near Danville, there is a severe thunderstorm warning currently. This line kind of associated with a cold front down to our south could spark some more, so I'd still keep the rain gear handy tonight just in case. There's where that warning is currently. I do think it will probably sneak just to the north of Roxborough here in the next 15, 20 minutes or so, but we may see a few light showers in that direction as well. We head down to the south here. This is actually a pretty heavy batch just to the west of Carthage, kind of north of Pinehurst. A lot of this, again, could sneak into more of our viewing area. So if you're headed out, that's going to be a pretty heavy sell. And then we're watching this one, too, just to the north of Taylor's Bridge. It's affecting here 701. A pretty hefty batch of rain there coming down. No severe weather here currently for us at the moment. But you notice down to the south where we do have some of these cells up near Lumberton pushing up toward Fayetteville as well. That's associated with that front, and some of those could be on the stronger side. That's why we do have that level 1 out of 5 risk for most of our viewing area. That's that lowest risk. And then we head back to the west, Sanford included here in that level 2. So what that's saying is a few strong to severe storms are possible, mainly as we go later on this evening. Let's walk through Futurecast here. We're starting off right on time here. We head to about 8 o'clock or so this evening, doing a great job of showing those spotty storms down to the south. We get closer to midnight. Some of that coverage may pick up just a little bit. Even there's 2 a.m. after midnight here into tomorrow morning. Some of those, again, could have some pretty heavy rainfall, maybe some lightning, very small hail. So we'll continue to watch that closely. Does not look like a tornado threat at this point, which is good. Out the door tomorrow morning, though, there still could be a few lingering showers. The severe weather threat should be over by that point, but you notice here Futurecast trying to hang on to some of that cloud cover along with a spotty storm or two here tomorrow. It looks like the coverage is going to be less for us, but I think during a large part of the day we may hang on to the cloud cover, so we'll call it partly to mostly cloudy skies here to start the week. There's where we sit right now, though, in Lewisburg. It's a beautiful shot. We have the blue skies. It's actually been a pretty nice day. The flags are pretty calm out there right now. Temperature-wise, we sit at 88 in Raleigh, feeling like 91. It still feels like 95 in Clinton. So it is hot out there. We're going to see those temperatures continue to climb here once again as we head into this week. We'll go for scattered storms tonight, upper 60s, low 70s. Again, if you're headed out and about, just make sure to stay weather aware. We'll continue to watch those pushing through. Like I said, pretty isolated coverage at this point, but it wouldn't surprise me some of those to pick up a little bit greater coverage over the next little while. We're at 92 here into our Tuesday. See those temperatures slowly starting to creep back up. We're at 93 Wednesday. On the whole, though, look at all of that sunshine. It's going to be a pretty nice week in that regard. A few spotty storm chances there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday with a sea breeze, and then, Julian, 97 degrees into next weekend. So our brief hiatus is definitely over here with the heat.
Yeah, it's gone. It's over.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. All right, thanks, Anthony. Pat Welter joins us now. Pat, let's talk about the British Open.
Yeah, always fun to watch the majors, but we kind of had a drama-free final round. But coming up next, I'll tell you why it's never too late to win your first major. And what do NIL and the movie Oppenheimer have in common? I'll explain next. If I asked you who this was last week, you would probably have no idea. Good chance you still don't. Brian Harman is one of the least likely major winners. He's 36 years old and only had 2 career wins until now. Final round of the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. Harman entering the day with a 5-stroke lead. Jason Day among the big names trying to apply some pressure. Day holes out from the rough on 9. Day, one of 4 golfers in a tie for second. No one could beat the steady putter of Brian Harman. In the face of boos, Harman sunk putt after putt. He finished 13 under after a final round 70. Brian Harman wins the Open Championship. Durham Bulls at the Rochester Red Wings. Jonathan Aranda back in the lineup after a stint with the Rays. As my dad likes to say, hit him where they ain't. RBI single gives Durham a 2-0 lead early, but Rochester gets it right back in the fourth. Big day for Jacob Nottingham. Going to knock it off the building in left field to tie it up. Rochester wins a rain-shortened contest here, 8-2. And if you're sitting there thinking, man, I wish the sports segment was longer, well, you're in luck. I'm hosting Sports Extra tonight after the 10 p.m. news on Fox 50. If you like Triangle Sports, this is the show for you. And a lot of great stuff on Fox these days, like the World Cup. The U.S. women play the second group stage game versus the Netherlands Wednesday at 9. We're just a couple days away from the ACC kickoff in Charlotte, but the football conversation has already started in Cary. Head coaches from Duke, UNC, NC State, and ECU took the stage for the Pigskin preview. NIL continues to be the headliner.
I think it's you created a very combustible environment all at once.
No, Mike Elko isn't talking about the movie Oppenheimer, although college football has gone nuclear in its own way.
We've introduced a lot of really bad things to our game if it's not handled the right way.
North Carolina coaches at the 20th annual Pigskin Preview called on Congress to regulate the name, image, and likeness fallout.
We all want a level playing field is what we want. And we want somehow for there to be federal legislation that allows us an opportunity to have oversight in a space. And I think that's where it's really challenging is 50 states have 50 laws, and the NCAA doesn't have the power to do anything about that.
When the NCAA started allowing NIL deals in July of 2021, they offered a few guidelines, but essentially left everything up to individual states. Then President Mark Emmert said the NCAA would continue to work with Congress, but so far, nothing has been passed on the national level.
It's just a really dangerous environment for our student athletes to try to navigate through right now.
No one's arguing athletes don't deserve to be compensated, but passing NIL at the same time as the transferring changes has created pay-for-play opportunities, which the NIL laws are supposed to prevent.
If we want to have some fairness, then we're going to have guidelines, because we got rid of amateurism. We're more like the NFL than ever before.
In the past, Mac Brown has called for a college football commissioner. Not a bad idea, because if the players are paid like professionals, you could argue the sport should be governed as such.
If we can get it where there's a national standard and some equality across our game again, I think it'll be really good and probably be the best situation for kids that we've ever had.
Some new NIL legislation was proposed this week, but nothing has been passed yet, Julian.
All right. Thanks, Pat. And thanks for joining us tonight. NBC Nightly News is next. Our next WRL newscast is on Fox 50 tonight at 10. And we'll see you back here at 11 p.m. Have a great night.